we got a warning and pretty much ignored it. And then they came by and gave us a cease and desist. We pretty much ignored that. You know, and then they came by with the search warrant. So we knew they were coming. It was actually kind of interesting. We got a warrant, I mean, a warning and then a cease and desist, and they didn't do anything for 10 months. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you know, the right before the Fortune 500 meetings in Austin that we were doing a lot of organizing around. And remember, you know, George Bush was governor at this time, running, getting ready to run for president. We got shut down right before the Fortune 500. We went up 72 hours later, which they were not all too happy about. And then the day before elections, or the quote-unquote elections, we got shut down again. And the first time they came with two Austin Police Department, two guys to take down our tower, which we had wished we had welded together because it would have been a lot harder for them, two FCC agents and one U.S. Marshal. After we went up 72 hours later, 2 weeks later, they showed up. After they sealed the search warrant, knowing that we would move our equipment had we found out about it. They came up with five FCC agents, four U.S. Marshals, three of which were from D.C., all for a little old radio station in Austin, Texas, and about 20 cops. And, you know, it was pretty scary. They were pretty righteous about, you know, their cause and, you know, being federal agents. And, you know, they went to school for all this stuff. They're pretty happy about what they're doing. There wasn't a whole lot of dialogue. I did talk to the U.S. Marshal, who was trying to kind of be buddy-buddy with me. And, you know, everybody in Austin, you know, knew that their voice was being stolen by these people. So there was a lot of sadness and loss and a feeling of grief. But the only dialogue I think that we really hit home to Oliver K. Long and Mr. Lloyd Perry was, you know, the Congress shall pass no law abridging the freedom of speech. That was our chant. And I think we got that home to them. And they really weren't too happy to see all those TV cameras coming around. So it's interesting. After post-free radio bust, we did have a court hearing. I really tried very hard to find an attorney. There was really nobody that was willing to take the case for free, and I certainly didn't have $20,000 to do it. But the transcripts from the hearing are pretty apparent. There was about 200 people in the courtroom that day. We did have a lot of public support that helped our case out a lot. But yeah, I did get a federal injunction permanently barring me from any unlicensed broadcasts in all of the United States. And at the time, my husband was getting out of prison, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I was willing at that time to violate my injunction, and they haven't put anybody in prison for violating free speech because they realize that's a real bad political, you know, PR move for them. And I really don't think that me broadcasting this weekend is going to come and bite me in the ass. And if it does, I mean, what are they going to do? I have no problem, you know, spending 2 years in a federal prison for trying to activate free speech rights for everybody in my community and communities all over the world. I think that's a small price to pay to show them out for what they really are, which they are the pirates. They're the ones that stole our airwaves, and we're just reclaiming them.